picture story. I was with my father-in-law recently, and I saw on TV they're talking about Brett Favre, right? Brett Favre, and he was going to the Hall of Fame. They're sharing that he played 19 seasons in the NFL. And really, Brett Favre to me only matters for two seasons when he was a Minnesota Viking, right? Like, it's funny how he went from like, oh, no one likes Brett Favre, and all of a sudden he wears purple. I'm like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened, right? But 19, and I knew he played for a long time. I'm like 19 years of just getting hit again and again and again and showing up again and again and again and throwing interceptions again and again and again and touchdowns for us. I was really impressed. I'm like, that's a long time. And I was talking with my father-in-law. I'm like, can you believe for 19 years he was at that job? My father-in-law looked at me and shook his head like he does. Then he said, yeah, I worked at Sappy for 41 years. I'm like, yes, you did. Yes, you did. And put it a little bit into perspective that there's something honorable. There's something impressive. There's something inviting, something intriguing about faithfulness. Of when you can say yes to something for a long, long time, and you can back it up, you can prove it with your life instead of your words, instead of just saying, oh, yeah, I'm really faithful. But people can look at your life, and it's beautiful. There's something so inviting about it. I was talking to a pastor in town. We call him Pastor Mac, Steve McGarvey, at the Rock Worship Center right behind the library. And I was talking to him like, hey, you know, Steve, how long have you been married? He goes, 53 years. I'm like, wow, that is longer than I've been breathing, all right? That is, Nikki and I have known each other for 23 years, right? Something like that? Well, yeah, 23 years, and we've been married 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that range. We've been married that long, and that's like double even as long as I've known my best friend. And it put things in perspective that I want that. I want to be faithful. Because we love the idea of faithfulness. We love the idea of having strong character. We love the idea of integrity, that we're going to be who we say we're going to be. And you've done this before where you're like, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to a diet. I'm losing 10 pounds, right? I'm sticking to it, right? And you're pointing yourself in the mirror. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to join a book club. And I'm going to, you know, you had like one of those late nights with your friends. You're like hugging each other. And you're like, Tori, I'm going to be there for you, man, no matter what. And you're like, yeah. And you have like that screaming man moment that's like meant to be encouraged. Like, yeah. And am I the only one that has those kind of moments? All right. So, and all of a sudden you're like, you know, really faithful to the diet for 24 hours. And then the next day you see the commercial of Arby's and says, we got the meats. And you go, yes, you do. And so do I now, right? And you're like, all of a sudden now it's faithful to your diet. Or the book club, and you show up and you're like, what are we reading? And you hold it up and it's like, it's more than 100 pages, right? And your friend, you said you're so faithful. You had like this screaming moment together. And they're like, hey, I really need you to help me move this Saturday. And you're like, ooh, UMD hockey games this Saturday. And what seemed like you were going to be so faithful, you love the idea of being faithful. When it came time to deliver on that, you might have bailed. And why do we bail? We bail because the pain of sticking through it is a lot higher than we just go back to what we know. Or all of a sudden we find a new thing to be faithful for. We have a new thing that we're all of a sudden like so excited about, and we're so in love with. Or we just stopped caring. Last week I felt that way about my friends. This week I would really love just to sleep in. Right? You've been here before? We can like bail on things that we have the idea of being faithful on. But faithfulness is part of the fruits of the Spirit, right? It's part of like a way that like invites you into the good life. But faithfulness is something you can't fake. You can't fake it. You know, with love, you could probably convince some people like, oh, I'm lovey-dovey, that's some love, right? Totally, right? You can like maybe even try faking peace. The idea of it, you could just say, oh, I don't get angry, I just smile all the time. But faithfulness is something that just doesn't happen overnight. Faithfulness isn't something that happens maybe even in a week. Like, I want to celebrate my faithfulness when I make the bed 2 days in a row, right? And I like will take pictures and I'll put it on Twitter and I'm like, look at me, I'm a real adult. I made my bed 2 days in a row, right? But the fruit of faithfulness might take a decade of you saying yes again and again and again. And when you can say yes, and you can understand the why behind the yes, we're going to talk about that a little bit, what can come out of you is something beautiful, something Jesus-looking, that we can be faithful. The reason that it's inviting, the reason that we celebrate it, right? Cal Ripken Jr. Has the most consecutive games played in baseball. And he was, like, we celebrate him because, like, he loved what he did, right? We have a quote of, like, how he loved the game of baseball. He had another quote where he said, you know, people say that I showed up, like, for work. I showed up to work. And the difference is a big difference. That was not the exact quote, but I got it, right? So kind of lost confidence in it a little bit after, right? But he said, like, I don't show up to work or show up for work. I show up to work. And that's, I want that. That takes a long obedience in the same direction. But how do we actually do it? Because maybe how I view being faithful and what faithfulness looks like might look different to you. What we're going to see is, we're going to read, is we're going to look at the life of Jesus. And let me just share this with you, that I had several aha moments when I was getting ready for this message. Like, I saw Jesus in, like, just a different way. And I love, one of my goals every day is I want to laugh, I want to learn something new. And when we can see Jesus for who he really is, when we can see Jesus that he's not just some, like, spiritual robot, that he's, like, fully man, fully human, and fully God, what he invites us into faithfulness might look very different than how we see it. So here's my invitation. Like, let's learn, let's see, let's experience what a Jesus-looking life looks like. Because wouldn't it be amazing if you could stand in front of 10,000 people, your family, or even if it was just yourself in the mirror, and you could say, who I am, who I am on stage, who I am in front of my family, who I am at work is the same when no one's looking, that I can be counted on, that when I say I'm going to deliver something, you can bet that I can deliver. Why? Look at my track record. Why? Faithfulness. But faithfulness costs you something. Faithfulness costs you something. So let's pray, and then we're going to look at the gospel, and we're going to see Jesus. If you don't have a Bible, we have some in the back table that you can thumb through. You can use your smartphone. And if you don't own a Bible, we'd encourage you to steal one from us. It's okay to steal from church sometimes. So we're going to be reading out of Mark 14, and before we do that, let me pray. So God, thank you that this whole idea of faithfulness is to look like you. That when even the story of Moses, where he stands in front of this burning bush and he's trying to figure out, like, who are you? And the way God responds, he says, I am. That you are never changing. That you are faithful. You are the rock that we stand on. Thank you for being good. Thank you for being consistent. Thank you that we can trust that who you say you are, you are. And the way you were and the way you are and the way you will be good. And I pray for my friends, I pray for myself, that we can experience the good fruit of you being faithful, Jesus. Amen. All right, Mark 14, verses 32 through 42. Balcony, we doing all right up there? Yeah, we got one thumbs up. Everyone's like, just keep talking. All right, so they, starting in verse 32, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Verse 38, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. I really appreciate being able to see Jesus, because here we see Jesus, we see God, right? We have a Jesus-looking God. We see God that is a me-too God, something we talk often here about. Because Jesus here is unglued. Jesus here is exhausted. He is spent. And he goes to his friends. He goes to his three disciples, the ones that are closest in his circle. And what does he say? He goes, I'm overwhelmed to the point of death. This is Jesus. Jesus being fully God. But here we get to see the humanity of Jesus. And why is this important? It's important because if we just view Jesus as Jesus was just some holy robot, just walked around, right? He was just like, I'm holy all the time. I just always choose the perfect thing, and I can't ever want something different than the right thing. Then his humanity wouldn't matter. Why didn't he just come as God and say, I'm God, all right, let's make this happen? He came and experienced grief. He came and experienced loss. He came and experienced joy and beauty. Why? So we can have a me too Jesus. That he knows what it's like to experience real life. And what we see here is that faithfulness now, because Jesus was perfect. Jesus was perfect. He did what no one else could do. He continually said yes to the kingdom. He said yes to his Father. He said yes to God again and again and again. But to believe that it wasn't, that there wasn't temptation, to believe that it wasn't hard, to believe that it wasn't difficult, means we're discounting like who Jesus is. Because here, Jesus is undone. But even in his raw emotion, even in the reality of it, he's still holy. He is still perfect. He is still faithfulness. Now that we can see Jesus like this, faithfulness doesn't mean it's always clean. Being faithful is messy. Being faithful is complicated. Being faithful hurts. Being faithful costs you a lot. Think about it. Whatever you are faithful to, if it's your marriage, like I used to do at the Duluth Vineyard, Nikki and I worked there as marriage and family pastors for a while, and I'd meet with these couples that were going through some incredibly hard things, and there was this one of my coworkers named Jessica would sit at the edge of this desk, and I'd walk the couples out, and I'd walk back in, and she just got married, and I'd look at her every time, and I'd say, don't compromise on your marriage. And soon enough, I'd walk by, and she'd look and say, yeah, I got it. Don't compromise my marriage, right? Like, if you're faithful to your marriage, it costs you something, right? It's not easy. Newsflash, like, alert the media, marriage is hard. It's really hard. Whatever you're faithful to, it costs you something. But when we think of like spirituality, when we think of, oh, I'm going to be faithful to God, sometimes there's this lie that we feel like, oh, we have to just be happy all the time. Or I have to have like 100% belief all the time. And any point that if your 100% belief drops down to like 75 because you see something on the news, because your friend has an honest conversation with you and asks a really hard question, and you're like, oh, I don't know about that. Does that mean you're not being faithful when you doubt? Does that mean you're not being faithful to God when you experience pain? Does that mean you're not being faithful like to your friends when you just don't want to answer the phone? Faithfulness is incredibly messy. But your mess, you need to hear this. Your mess is not a threat to the goodness of God. Your doubt, your pain, your struggle, like your like just crazy thoughts once in a while, those are not a threat to the gospel. Because if they were a threat, then Jesus did something horribly wrong then. Because what we're gonna read here is he not only like confesses to like his friends of like I'm done, I'm spent, I'm overwhelmed to the point of death. And then he even tells God, hey, if we can get out of this, I'd be a big fan of that. Like you have a place here at the Vineyard. You have a place in the kingdom of where you can be the real you, where you can be a hot mess. You can be like just feeling all the feels. It is okay to feel what you feel. And God is still good. And that does not need to compromise your faithfulness. See, like what we're going to be reading here is he says, my soul's overwhelmed, verse 34, my soul's overwhelmed with the sorrow to the point of death. Jesus is saying this to his friends, his most trusted disciples, and he's honest, he is raw. And he doesn't fake it. You ever been like just feeling something strong? You just had a hard day? Someone walked up to you at work and they're like, hey, how you doing? And what do you say? All-time high, right? I'm feeling great. Living the dream, right? Whatever it might be. And you kind of put smile and you just kind of like fake it and say, no, I'm really, really good. But on the inside, you're just like unglued. Why do we do that? And we can do it in a polite way. I think it's, you know, like if I'm just meeting someone and we're at Walmart and like, hey, how you doing? You know, I might not always just like break down crying, like, I'm so tired, hug me, right? But even with our friends, even with our, maybe like our best friends, maybe with your spouse, maybe with God, we feel that our feelings are a threat. I can't let anyone know my marriage is falling apart. I can't let anyone know that I have a mental illness. No, I can't let anyone know that financially we are like way over ahead in debt and I don't know how in 3 months how we're going to pay our bills. No, we can't talk about that. I can't tell my friends that I'm questioning my spirituality and these deep theological things I thought were so easy and like clean and like just perfect now just become a little bit more complicated. No, you don't talk about that. Why? Because we have to be perfect all the time. We have to be happy all the time. Because if I'm honest, what? What's the lie that you believe? What's the lie that you made true? If I say this, then they leave? What, they bail? Your circle friends say, ooh, you're that kind of friend now. Sorry, we're going to move you into this camp from this camp, right? We think what, that God's going to be angry at us because we have some doubts? They think that we're just going to be this hot mess and we're going to be the needy friend all the time. So we just pretend it's all okay. There's something beautiful. There is something healthy about being self-aware of how you're doing. Because if you want to be faithful in anything, you name it. If it's exercise, if it's career, if it's financially, it's like being like having life-giving relationships, whatever it might be. If you're not self-aware, that is a recipe for not just disaster, but for death. Because if you just say, no, I got to be okay. Today I'm okay. No, today I have to be strong. I'm strong. Okay, today I have to be perfect. I'm perfect. And you can't just pause and just like allow yourself to think of like, why am I so exhausted? I was just telling Nikki the other day that I'm like, I don't know why, but today I feel lonely. And it just snuck up on me. I had like a great day and I was going to see some friends at night. And I just looked at her and I'm like, I feel so lonely right now. And this is a new thing for me to feel what I feel. This is a new thing for me to like try getting self-aware of how I'm doing emotionally. Because before it, I always just say, try harder. Let's just keep going. We got to run 1,000 miles per hour. Why? Because that's how you win. And I don't want that kind of life anymore. Actually, I think God wants me to be healthy. If I want to have like this faithfulness, if I want to have longevity, if I want to have to be like a man of character, I have to be willing to admit sometimes I'm not okay. How's that going for you? Do you give yourself time? Do you give yourself permission just to stop and reflect? So Jesus says this, right? He says he's unglued. But then he actually goes around and he says, stay here to his friends. Stay here and keep watch, verse 34. Jesus not only is like confessing and being honest and being raw, and it's not a threat to his disciples. He's also being very clear of how they can support him. He widens the circle. You don't have to do life alone. You don't have to walk through your financial struggles alone. You don't have to walk through your mental illness alone. You don't have to walk through you trying to get clean from whatever this like life-controlling habit that you've had for decades. You don't have to do it alone. It's risky, though. You want to see the good fruit of being faithful? You need to have people on your team. You need to have people on your team. But for the same reason that we don't want to like be honest and tell people because we think we're going to bail, when you have to do that again, and again go to your friends and say, yeah, I'm still not well. Like, are you even aware of what you need? So you might be aware of what you're feeling, but do you even know how to invite people into that journey with you? Do you have people that you can invite into that pain with you? Do you have people you can invite into that celebration with you? Because it is risky to do it. Because you have to be vulnerable. You want to have life-giving friendships. You want to be able to be faithful for a long time. You have to be willing to be vulnerable. And like we talked about small group, like just this past week at small group, we were talking, and I don't remember what we were talking about, but it came up like, hey, how you doing? What are you feeling? And we had one of our leaders' meetings where we ended up having 60 people in our house for dinner, and our house is not usually holding 60 people. So, and Nikki and I are very different on the way we approach parties, and I'm like, ah, it's okay, it'll happen, right? And Nikki's like, well, no, someone has to vacuum, someone has to cook food for 60 people, someone has to like do that. I'm like, yeah, it'll be okay, right? I just kind of think, we just show up and we have a party. And Nikki actually makes the party a party. So that's why I love her so much. So, but we were feeling some anxiety, right? A little bit of stress. And I even just shared a story of like, our kids got in this fight over milk because someone got the last of like the real milk and we had almond milk. And they're like, I don't want almond milk. You ate the milk. And everyone's crying. And I, you know, not like some horrible, horrible thing. I just shared that with my small group because it was heavy for me. It was just heavy. Like, I want to rescue Nikki from all the pain in the world. And there's times I just imagine this, I can't. So at small group, I just shared that. I was vulnerable. And the next day, Kimberly, someone in our small group, showed up at our house 2 hours early and said, I'm here to help. How can I help? And in her hand, she had a gallon of milk. Right? When you have a group of friends, when you have people who are on your team who will allow you the space to be honest, to be real, and to be vulnerable, and where you don't have to be on. You know, you might feel that you have to be on all the time as a business owner, as the perfect mom, maybe as a leader in like your community, or maybe a leader in your church, and thinking, oh, no, like, no, I have to always be perfect. You don't. Like, I'm sorry to, like, maybe you won't like hearing this, but Nikki and I aren't perfect. Like, we feel what we feel, right? And the way that we want to create this community is the same way that Jesus did. He was self-aware, he was honest, he was okay to feel what he felt, and then he widened the circle, he invited some people in, and he was clear, very clear, here's how you can be on my team. And then in the next verse, he prays this, Abba, Father. Everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. So Jesus is self-aware. He's feeling what he feels. He's wide in the circle. And then he goes and he prays with God. He goes, it says that he goes a little bit further. I just get this picture of Jesus like leaving his three disciples. He gets just a little bit out of the way and he just stumbles to the ground and he says an honest, dangerous prayer. The word Abba was a word of like radical intimacy, just the deepest connection you could have from like a daughter or father to their dad, a daughter or a son to their dad. It wouldn't just go around and just call like Joe Harding, wouldn't just go, hey, Abba. It was meant for like the closest intimate relationship. And Jesus cries out and says, Abba, if there's any way you can take this cup from me, he's praying. If we can get around this, you know, Jesus foreshadowed the cross and his death and his resurrection plenty of times before this. So this wasn't like, he didn't all of a sudden just come, he's like, wait, I'm going to die? This wasn't new to him. He knew what had to happen, but still he took the risk of being honest, of being vulnerable, and then he prays to God. If you think about it, it almost feels like that's not what Jesus should do. It's like, well, Jesus, why are you praying to do something that you already know that you have to do? Are you trying to get out of it? Like, is Jesus all of a sudden become a little bit suspicious? No. Jesus knows his Father. What he prays here is like jam-packed in the Bible. People who are being honest to God, people who are being even angry at God, people who are doubting God. Like, he's referencing out of here, he's using language out of Psalm 43 and Psalm 44, where it says, my soul is heavy. It's like my soul is just being weighed down by like a ton of bricks. It's like bringing me down. See, Jesus can say this to God. He can pray this because he knows his Father. He knew the scriptures inside and out. He knew he could pray dangerous prayers. He could actually ask God, invite God into this, even just saying, could we do something different? Because he knew that his Father was good. He knew it was not a threat. You see, when you can see Jesus, when you can see God for who he really is, instead of like the angry boss, instead of the angry parent, instead of the distant God trying to hide from you on the mountain, saying, you better come to me because there's no way I'm coming to you. When you can see God for who he really is, when you can open up the Bible and see Jesus in the story of Isaac, when you can read through the Bible and you can see Jesus all through the Psalms, you can see Jesus and how Moses led his people, you can see Jesus in Jonah, all of a sudden God becomes this distant person. He comes alive and you have language to connect with the loving Father. All of a sudden you can be inspired. You can be faithful. You can say yes, even when it's hard. Why? Because you know your Abba. How is this going for you? What does it look like for you to be close to God? Because if you want to be faithful, and I really believe this, the core of who I am, you want to be faithful to anything. I don't know how you can do it without the kingdom of God. I don't know how you can do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. Because the things that we want to say yes to, the things that we want to give our lives to, those are things that God is inviting us to. Like, consume your Bible. Like, when I read this, I read this passage over and over and over again because I saw Jesus like me. Like, what if Jesus actually knows something about being exhausted? It sounds like Jesus knows a lot of, like, there's times I pray desperate prayers to God, like, you got to show up, please, oh, please, 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 right? Like, often. I love that. Jesus has language to pray to God because he knew his Father well. So Jesus, it's okay to feel what he feels. He says, I'm overwhelmed to the point of death. He widens the circle. He lets people in, and he prays a dangerous prayer. But here is the linchpin. Here is what we stand on. He says right after, he goes, take this cup from me, but yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus, in his overwhelmness, in his tiredness, in his exhaustion, in his prayer saying, oh God, can we just kind of move things around? He still lands where? Faith. Where does he land? Trust. He has this asinine idea, this crazy idea of saying, my Father is really, really good. Even though I don't see it right now, even though I don't even feel it right now, I will let you be God. I will let you have the final say. See, being faithful to something, having the end in mind, being able to do something for a long period of time, you have to have faith. And what you put your faith in matters. You put your faith in, well, you know, I'm just, you know, be faithful in my marriage. Why? Because I don't really want to go through the whole marriage process again, right? If that's the extent of why you're going to be faithful in your marriage, at some point, the pain is going to be harder than that. It'll be a lot harder. He trusts, Jesus trusts that God is good, and that carries him. Look at what he says right after that, verses 41 and 42. It's almost like, think about where he started in verse 32 and where he ends, of he stumbles to the ground, I'm so overwhelmed, and look at the confidence and security in verses 41 and 42. Enough, he says. The hour has come. There's confidence. There's clear action. We are moving forward. Before, I'm a mess. I'm overwhelmed. He gets his answer from God, and it sounds like it might not be the answer he even wanted. But when God said, and we don't hear what God said, there wasn't this audible voice, we just hear the prayer, and then we see this. It goes from exhaustion to clarity, focus, and drive. Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is being delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. There is action, there is purpose, there is clarity, and it's almost this, evokes this sense of like action. Like we're on the move. Jesus can get to that point because God is enough. In that moment, God was enough for him to keep saying yes, to keep being faithful. When you pray dangerous prayers, if your intimacy is just based on what you feel, like, put it this way, the why you are being faithful is so incredibly important. The why. You have to know the why. The why has to go through you deep. Because if, like I said earlier, if you don't know why you're being faithful to your marriage, if you don't know why you're being faithful to your diet, like if you've been sober for a couple years and you don't know why you're being sober, at one point that bottle's going to look pretty enticing. You have to know why. Jesus knew why. Because my Father is good. Because there's this good life. When I say yes to God, I let Him be God. I'm not gonna let my emotions dictate who I am. I'm not gonna let like what I'm feeling about God say, well, that must be true about God then. He knows God, He's taking a risk. He has faith that my God is good, and I'm gonna let Him be God instead of me. I'm gonna let Him make the decisions. I'm gonna let Him invite me into things. And trust that even though I'm exhausted, even though I'm spent, even though I feel like bailing, even though it's just kind of average at best, I will trust on the other side, I'll experience the best life possible because God is good. If you want to be a person of faith, if you want to have this fruit of faithfulness coming out of your life in 20 years, you want maybe your friends or your kids to talk about how you were faithful instead of just tolerating. It looks like being self-aware, feeling what you feel, widening that circle, letting people in, being so close to God that you can be honest, that you know Him, that who you really are is not a threat to Him, but then you obey. You obey. You do what He asks you to do. My prayer for our community, my prayer for those of you who are listening and maybe you're listening on the podcast, that we can be a people who are faithful, that we know why we're faithful, and the fruit that comes out of our life is something life-giving. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to ask you in like 30 seconds to stand, and I'm going to pray over us. And in that prayer, I'm going to invite you. I'm not going to ask you to come up to the front right away. I'm not going to ask you to jump up and down, wave your hand. There's some things I feel like God wants to do in us. There's a reality that God wants to give us good things. And whatever that looks like to connect with Jesus, I'm going to encourage you, just for a moment, if you're new to the whole idea of spirituality, of connecting with Jesus, I'm going to invite you just even for a moment just to try it. Because I know that God wants to do something good in us. Let's stand. So here's what I'm going to pray. Here's my invitation to respond. You're here, and you're one of several things. You're here and you're spent. As I was praying, I felt like God was just showing me this picture of someone carrying around this piano on their back, which is a weird picture because that's impossible. But anyways, right, they're carrying this piano on their back and they're walking around with their friends, with their family, and everyone looks at them and says, you have to be exhausted. Like there's this heavy weight you feel like is just crushing you, but you won't let anyone see that you are being crushed. It's like this, you're playing this game of like, no, I am strong. No, I am strong. No, I'm okay. I am fine. But everything in you is screaming enough. God wants to come and bring you peace. God wants to come and bring you hope so that you can continue to say yes, so you can be faithful. Other people here, you just feel like you're ready to bail. You're ready just to pick up your ball and go home. God wants to give you something beautiful, something freeing, so you can continue to fight the good fight. So if that's you, here's my invitation. As I pray, I'm going to encourage you to hold open your hands. The same way that if you were a kid, you'd walk up to your dad and you'd say, hey, Dad, can I borrow $5? Even though he's going to say, no, money doesn't grow on trees, get out of here. You'd still put your hand out just in case he had a good day, right? Because you did it as a way of expecting you're going to get what you asked for. Same way when we pray, one thing we do is we hold open our hands saying, all right, God, if you are good, I don't have to pretend to be okay. Will you come and give that to me? If that's you, just hold open your hands as we pray. Let's pray. So, Jesus, will you come? And this whole idea of faithfulness, the whole idea we can even ask you for good things is because you were faithful. That you were perfect. That you said yes in all the ways that I want to say yes to you, Father. Man, I bail. Man, I can just jump ship when it gets hard. Jesus, you said yes. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for the cross, that you did what I couldn't do. Instead of holding it over my head, instead of saying, I was perfect and you failed, you, out of love, offer me life. You offer me healing. You offer me hope. You offer me forgiveness. Thank you that I can experience the benefit of faithfulness because of what you did. And so will you bring the benefit, will you bring your spirit, will you bring your hope, will you bring your peace to my friends, to me, where we just feel tired. We feel spent, we feel exhausted. And pray for my friends who feel like they have to play the game, the perfection game. They feel like they have to play the game of I'm happy. They have to play the game, no, I am strong. I will never be weak by being honest. God, will you remove that lie? And right now, will you bring your spirit? Yeah, Jesus, bring your spirit to my friends who are just tired. There's people here, you are just exhausted. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Maybe even like relationally, just with your friends. You're done. God, will you come? And will you be like what Jesus says, where he says, enough, the hour has come. There's action, there's purpose, there's clarity. God, will you bring back our arrow to continue to say yes to the hard things? Will you give us the confidence? Will you give us the energy, the ability to say, I'm all in again. I'm not going to that lie. I'm not going back to that bottle. I'm not going back to that bad relationship. I'm saying yes to Jesus, and you will give me what I need to be the woman of God, to be the man of God. Yeah. We do that now, Jesus. And lastly, God, I pray you will use us, use this community to go out and we can be faithful. That we can love people with purpose. We can love people with kindness. And over the next 5, 10, 30, 40, 50 years, God, you will use us to bring life and hope to the community in Carlton County. Let us be faithful to what you want us to do. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So, what happened there for maybe one of you, some of you, at least for me, I experienced, that's God coming close. We call it the kingdom of God. God's Holy Spirit is really like heaven is not just somewhere else when we die, but Jesus said he wants heaven to come now, to experience the benefit of him. And we're going to have the worship team coming up. If you've experienced that, you feel like you got some clarity, you feel like even you got to be self-aware and honest, and you're like, I want more of that. That's why we have the ministry team. And I'm going to invite them to come on up. These are people just like you. They are, imagine this, they're not perfect. They're people who love God, and they really just want the best for people. And if there's something you want prayer for, there's something that you just would like to continue doing with Jesus, you want prayer over your relationships or your finances, or you just feel like, I don't know what to be faithful to anymore, come up, let us pray for you. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard. We're going to worship for a while. It's Amber's birthday. Happy birthday, Amber. I forgot to say it in the beginning. All right, so, yeah. She loves attention, too. So, stick around, worship for a while, have another cup of coffee, and have a great Sunday.